Yes, it's games, but games with some kind of a purpose. And yes, thank you for Facebook for a lot of reasons. One of them is identity management. It's been a very hard problem. And you could see that a lot of websites now, they are using Facebook as the IDP, which is the identity provider. You could say connect using Facebook. I don't advise you to click the connect button, but this solves some of the identity problems that have been there forever. Okay, it's a byproduct of having a big, very big social network. So basically what we are interested in here is trying to map identities between social networks. So people have accounts on different networks, and when they migrate to a new network, usually the first thing you do is they ask you migrate your friends or invite your friends or find your friends in the new network. So I'll jump directly to this joint work with my student Munam Ko and Hakim. Hakim is also here. So we are trying to solve the problem of identity mapping using games. At the top level, what is profile mapping is that basically you have profiles in two different networks. And so you have social network B and social network A. And the question is, can you find people who, can you map the identities of people on two different social networks at the high level? So this is related to a lot of problems in literature. For example, some of the problems that it relates to is identity mapping techniques. There are techniques which try to find, for example, if criminals who have done a specific job, done a specific crime, are they repeating the same crime? So they use attributes of the crime to find, to map the identity. Also, it is very related to graph matching. So you have, if you look at the problem as two graphs, and you have the central user UI, and he has an account on the other network, and he's central in UJ, and you are trying to find out some sort of similarities between the graph structures. Also, it is very similar to schema matching. If you look at it as the attribute, from the attribute point of view, it's very similar to schema matching. So the question is, why profile mapping? So several sites, they ask you to import your contacts or import your friends. For example, if you look at Google+, there is an import capability from Hotmail, Yahoo, and to get your friends from Facebook into Google+, there is a way where you import them into Yahoo, and then from Yahoo, you import them into Google+. But anyway, so that's one capability. The other thing is, if you look at the Live product that is by Microsoft, also you can add friends from other services, Facebook, MySpace, and other services. Okay, so basically, it is interesting to work in that area. But basically, this is not what actually pushed us to investigate that problem. What actually pushed us to look at that problem is that we were working on a problem where we were trying to share resources across social networks. And the problem is, once you try to share resources across social networks, it is very easy to share the status, which is now being shared. You can tweet something and it gets populated on Facebook, or vice versa. Pretty simple. Why? Because the status is by default. You assume that it's public, so the policy itself is not important. Who sees it or who doesn't see it, it's assumed that it's public. But once you try to introduce sharing and policies involved with sharing, there will be a problem. Because now you have to figure out the identities or map the identities. So basically, you can think of the world looking like this, where you have very strict walls between the social networks. So what we try to do is we try to build a third layer, or a third-party site, which it can control the sharing across networks. But the first thing we stumbled upon is that, can you tell me if this Bob is the same as this Bob? Because you can give Bob access, you can deny Bob access in one network, and then if you are going to share resources across networks, you have to also guarantee that Bob, if he logs into other network, he doesn't have access to these resources. So this was the actual trigger of the problem that you're going to see today. So what happened is we were very naive at the beginning. We said, okay, we will develop the system, and then we will ask the user to give us the mappings. So the user tells me, I list a specific person and give him some recommendations of who that person matches in his other network, in the other social network, and the user gives us the mapping. The problem is people got really exhausted after the 10th map. And they were like, this is a nasty solution, and we need something that's more fun. So we stepped back and we thought about other approaches. But what are the possible approaches that can be used? For example, the first one we talked about is where I ask the profile owner to map his friends or the identities of his friends across networks. Okay, and that is tedious. The other approach, which a lot of social networks now do, is using the email hash. So there is an email hash that's being published, and then you try to match the email hashes, and from there you can match the identities. This is very successful. But it depends on the assumption that the users have created these accounts using the same email, thus the same hash. And then you can compare the profile attributes. For example, you can use the name, the age, the address of one profile, and then compare it to the name, age, address from another profile. The problem is some attributes are missing. Some attributes are even not correct. For example, we faced when we started this project, we picked MySpace and Facebook as the mapping, but then MySpace tended to disappear in 2010 and continued to disappear. But you could see that in MySpace there was a restriction of age to use that network. So users used to lie about their ages. So we used to collect data for profiles where users are 100 years older, old or more, just to guarantee that they have access to that network. But anyway, so the profile attributes are not very trustworthy. Okay. What would actually solve all these problems if people agreed on a unique IDP, which is an identity provider? For example, if people decided to use OpenID. So in that case, there is a unique identifier and you can associate with it identities that you have in other sites, and at the end of the day, you can use the OpenID. But this needs a wide adoption from users and from the social network sites. Okay, so these were the approaches. So what we started doing is the first one, and we tried to play with the email, but within the social network site, for example, MySpace at that time did not have the email hashes, so that was an issue. So what we try to do is that, okay, people are very lazy. They don't want to sit down and do a very repetitive task without getting motivated. So we decided, okay, let's create a game. So this game, the original thought about this game is called Games with a Purpose. Okay, and there is a lot of literature about games with a purpose. And basically through an online game, you can get multiple people to play the game together and collectively solve some problem. Okay. One, you make use of people's free time. So people are on Facebook all the time. You can make use of their time. And so you take advantage of people's desire to be entertained. You motivate people to play voluntarily, and obviously it's for free. So you don't pay people. The game should be designed to be fun and at the same time generate useful data to solve some problem. The example I will show is the ESP game. So that's a very popular game. And basically, it tries to use the game. It actually uses the game with the purpose idea to solve tagging of images. So basically, you have a set of randomly selected images, and you provide this image, or you pick one of the images, and you provide it to a user, and then to another user who does not know the. So player one and player two do not communicate. They don't know each other. There is no channel of communication. That's an assumption. So you show them the picture, and then they start to tag. So they start inputting tags. And once there is a tag match, this means that this is a tag that is confirmed. You know, two people have agreed on. And then at the end of the day, this becomes a tag in the image. Okay, so something like that. For example, you have a dog. So the first player says dog, the second player says animal, and then puppy. And then the second player says dog, so you have a verification. So in that case, you know that this image now will be tagged with dog, okay? So basically, we wanted to develop something similar to this, or along the same lines, but we don't have randomly generated images. Basically, we have profiles. And we try to adapt the problem so that we can use some of the ideas here. So what we decided to do is to build a game, okay? So the goal is to build or to design a game with a purpose to solve the profile mapping problem between two social network sites. The challenge is to design the point granting scheme or the point system, okay, such that it rewards correctly identified profile mappings, it maximizes the reward for truthful, rational players, and it minimizes the reward for irrational players. Okay, now rational, irrational, because we try to use game theory to prove some of the approaches that we used to design the game, the point granting scheme. Okay? So, also, the question is, how do I, if I'm going to show you a user and then you have 500 friends on the other side, I have to shrink that list from 500 to a smaller recommendation set, and you pick one from that recommendation set. Otherwise, it's going to be very tedious. You have to scroll down a whole list. So we had to generate a recommendation set that you can pick from. Also, how to design a mechanism to detect irrational players. Okay. So the game, when it was first created, we used the APIs for Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter to enable this game. And the game looked something like this. You had, actually, I think the next slide explains this a little bit better. You had a user in the middle, we called him the focus user, and then you had the recommendations around him. And the idea was to pick or to drag the user that actually maps, that you think maps to this. And you could see this user is from Facebook, and the other ones are from Twitter. So basically, and we also provided the top 10 players, so that as people are playing, they could see who are the top 10. And this motivated people to, there is some kind of competition and they are trying to gain points. Okay. So basically, the users have two options or two actions in game theory terms. Two actions. The first action is either to map. So you decided that one of the 12 people that you see here, is actually a candidate for mapping, to map to the person in the center, which is the focus user. Or they can just skip. So by skipping, they indicate that I don't think it's one of these people. Okay, there is no map. Also, if there is somebody who is interested, they can scroll and go get another 12, the next 12 recommendations. Okay. Also, these are the recommended mappings, and the person in the middle is called the focus user. Okay, so now, how to generate the recommendations? Straightforward. To generate the recommendations, we used, there is a focus user, how to pick the focus user, and how to pick the recommendation network. So as it is expected, the focus network, you pick the smaller network. So you pick a smaller network, because the focus user is the user you will see in the middle, and then when you go next, so you pick the smaller network. And then to generate the recommendations, basically we calculate a distance. And the distance is not only based on the profile attributes, but it's based on the profile attributes, network metrics that we can extract from the network, like network metrics such as centrality between us and metrics related to social networks. And we combine all these metrics and we calculate a distance between the focus user and all the users from the other network. And then we come up with 12 recommended users. And we align the 12 recommended users to show them to the player. So smaller network. Then to select the focus user. So basically, we want the player to play the exciting users first. Okay, the exciting users are users who have high mutual number of friends with the player. Okay. So basically, when the player logs into the game, we extract their social network from Facebook and from the other network. So we have an idea of the social networks in both networks. And this is actually stored on our server. We store this information on our server. Why? Because we don't want people only to play their networks, but we want them to play other people's networks. And we will see from the results what does this lead us to. So select the focus users. We sort them based on mutual friends, and we show them in that order. The mapping recommendations, I just mentioned how we generate them based on profile attributes and network attributes. And basically, we use some form of a distance. You can use an RBF kernel or any other kernel that you can test, but that's what we used. And then we show the 12 recommendations. Now, the point scheme. So the user has two main actions that they can perform. They can skip or they can map, okay? So they can also invite some friends. They can invite their friends to play the game. So if they invite their friends to play the game, we give them 50 points. If the player provided any map or any skip, he gets 10 points. Any map or any skip, they get 10 points. This is just to give them an idea of continuity, or you tell them incremental gratitude or something. You tell them, hey, thank you for playing the game. So they get 10 points for every map they make. Okay. Now, if that map gets verified or confirmed by somebody else, they get 100 points. If a skip gets verified by somebody else, they get 30 points. So if you notice, the skip that gets verified, they get 30 points. But if the map gets verified, they get 100 points. So if you look at this from, if you step back and look at this, you will see that we are trying to motivate people to make a map, you know, and to that the skip is the last resort. You will see why, because if two people don't know each other, but they decided to cheat, so I can agree if the skip and the map have the same reward, what I would do is I agree with you, I will skip all the maps. And if the other player skips all the maps, if we get rewarded similar to mapping, in that case, so that's a problem. So basically that's why we designed it this way. We will see how we prove this in game theory. Using game theory. So also the data set order. The first game a player plays is his social network. After he's done with all his social network, it would be a very boring game that you just play your social network and we tell you, thank you, go home. Right? But there are other players, we have their social networks. So we can ask you to play their social networks. Okay. So the first game is your social network. The next games are other social networks. That's pretty interesting because we had some players where the main language that was used to display their friends' names was Chinese. So the idea was now I don't know that name in Chinese and I don't know that name in English, probably in Twitter or in MySpace. So at the end of the day, we use the image. So the users see the picture of the user here, and they can make a judgment. But yeah, so that's the game order. So we gave them rewards based on if a map is mapped. So if you look at this from the, I'm not going to go deep in detail of the theory here, but the assumption is the players don't communicate with one another. So the player does not know the action of other players. The game can be modeled as a two-player extensive game with incomplete information. Okay, and basically the set of recommendations is U1 to UN, meaning these are the recommended users from U1 to UN, and phi me to signify, or you could say U1 N plus 1 is to signify the skip. Okay, and then each player has. These are the set of actions. The player has n plus one actions, so he can map any one of from U1 to UN, and the plus one is for the skip. Okay, so if he maps the central user, which is UF with phi, this means he's skipping. Okay, and basically this is the reward scheme. And just to explain what this is, so all the users have the same utility, meaning that all the users follow the same point granting scheme. Okay, so everyone who makes a map gets 100 if it gets verified, so there is no distinguishing between the users. So that's why all the users, that's the first rule. Sigma 1 equals sigma 2 equals sigma. So then here, if you map from Twitter to Facebook or Facebook to Twitter, the same, it's you get the same set of points. So here basically what we are trying to say, the second one is that if it gets verified, you get rewarded higher than if it does not get verified. And then the last one is to signify that if you actually have a map, it counts more than having a skip. Okay. So basically, if you look at it this way, we designed the system as high reward, medium reward, and low reward. So low reward means that if you just make a map and it doesn't get verified, it's the 10 points. Okay. Medium is if actually you make a skip and it gets verified. And then high means if you make a map and it gets verified. So if you follow it, for example, player one takes action one, and this action one gets verified by player two, then both of them get high. Okay? And if player one made action A1 and the next player did not match the action, they both get low. Okay? And on the far end, you look at the skip. Okay? So basically, to summarize the equilibrium, where you would like to see the rational behavior go. So basically, the players, the rational players, are players who are out there to maximize their payoff, meaning they want to get more points, okay, to be one of the 10 highest players. So players would try to make an action that will be verified by somebody else. You know, they would like to either skip if it's the highest probability that it will be skipped by somebody else. Okay, so basically, a player would think is, what would other players do if they are presented with the same playing set or the same instance of the game? What would they think? And by theory of focal points is that usually players will coordinate at points that in some sense stick out from others. So if something sticks out from others, users will actually go for that action. And for example, if you have user A and you have a map, that map will stick out. So users are going to pick it because this has a higher probability of being picked by somebody else and thus getting the verified. Okay? So you can easily look at equilibrium here, and you could see that this is also in the paper. There is a whole discussion about why there is equilibrium. There is also another problem is that, okay, what if there are a lot of irrational players? Then you lose a lot of these theories. At the end of the day, if a lot of rational players start playing the game, your game starts to get has very random behavior, and you cannot track down this to averages, which is actually what game theory is trying to do here. So basically, what we try to do is that we try to introduce some countermeasures to find people who are irrational and to remove them from our confirmation results. Okay. So, for example, you can have players collude among each other. Okay. So there is some sort of communication channel that they created. For example, me and somebody else, we decided, okay, I will go and I will, for every single map I see, for every single game I see, I will pick the first one on the corner to map. So that's a mechanism of collusion. It even doesn't need a channel. You need this to post the channel on Twitter or something that I'm playing this game and I'm always going to map the first one on the left corner. So in that case, another player will take the same approach and you will be rewarded really high. So there is some sort of collusion. So basically to sort out this problem is that we decided to sort the 12 people randomly. The 12 people on the board, we sort them randomly and that solves the problem. Okay, so if it's uniform, it's 1 out of 12 times you are correct, you know, if you play it this way. Okay, so we sort the recommended set randomly. Okay, and then also we allowed players to play a game set only once, which is something that is required. They don't keep on playing the same game set so that they don't verify their own results. Okay, also related to irrational behavior, some people will just randomly map profiles. So people who randomly map profiles, basically they will, obviously they will not score high because there is a lower probability of being mapped. So that the scoring scheme will take care of this. Also what we tried to do is we introduced some game sets which are called test game sets. So the players play these test game sets, and if they score badly on these test game sets, we know that this user doesn't know what they are doing. So we injected into the system these test game sets, okay? Which is the detection game sets, we call them. Okay, so basically the architecture is pretty simple. We had the 3 social networks, and actually the game was not developed in JavaScript or HTML. Just sorry to annoy a lot of people, but the problem is a lot of people use IE, and if you develop for IE, compatibility, you fall into a lot of compatibility problems. So what we did is we developed the game in Flex, which is ActionScript. So we are assured that it's going to compile the same, or it will look the same on all browsers, because it is Adobe Flex. So basically, this is the high level architecture of what's going on, and this game was deployed in early 2010. A lot of websites did not have OAuth 2.0 yet, and MySpace existed at that time. So it's developed in Flex. A quick look at the experiments. Basically, the experiments, we had to recruit people. So the problem with the recruitment here is that you had to find people who had accounts in Facebook and some other network. That's one constraint. The second constraint is that they are willing to play the game, right? So to find people who had accounts in Facebook and MySpace, for example, in Facebook there are groups which is called MySpace Lover or MySpace Okay, so we went there and we invited people inside from that group. Similarly, in MySpace, there are groups which also promote Facebook on MySpace. So we try to post invitations there. Also, we distributed advertisements in the university asking students to play the game. Doing this was not very successful in recruiting people because people were very hesitant to go to an external server and use the Facebook Connect, and then the Facebook Connect retrieves their data, and then use MySpace Connect to retrieve their data, even though we had the IRB approval and we had a consent message describing what data we are collecting and all of that, but it was very difficult to get people. But anyway, so we held a two-week game competition. So we held a competition, and we said that we will give the top player an iPod Nano, and we will give other people $10 gift cards. Okay? And actually, pretty interesting. In university or in academia, to get this approved and to actually get the money back is very, very difficult. Yeah. So, but anyway, we managed to do that. 124 people played the game. This is the information that we collected. We had 38,000 Facebook profiles, MySpace profiles, Twitter profiles, and then we had about 7,400 mappings. Now, how do we evaluate the mapping? So we had 7,000 mappings. Now, how do you evaluate them? We want to make sure that you want to know. We already have maps that are confirmed, okay? And the maps that are confirmed, you have how many confirmations on each one of the maps. But you want to know, does it make any sense? Do these maps? So we had to manually go in and verify the mappings for experimentation. We had to find out, are these mappings real or no? So basically, for every single map, we displayed who are the users. This is a map between this guy in Facebook and this guy in MySpace. And we looked at the pictures. The pictures are similar, but they are not the same. The last name, first name, and we calculated distances. And we calculated information related to that for every single map. Then we looked at our results. So basically, what we found is that if you have three or more confirmations in this game, if you have three or more confirmations, you have 100% accuracy of the map. We also looked at the skip accuracy. If you have four or more confirmations on a skip, it verifies. Why this is lower? Because people have a tendency of skipping. You know, after they are bored, they just, it's one button that they can put the mouse on and keep on clicking. Right? That's why you get a lower skip ratio. The overall accuracy, we just averaged the last two curves. Now, if you looked at, because we know the similarity between the profiles, we did that manually. We can tell you about the similarity between, this is FBMS, is Facebook MySpace. The other one is Facebook Twitter. So when you look at the similarity, the dark blue says that they are exactly the same. So when you look at the profile picture, you see it's very low. It's less than 10, it's about 5%. It's exactly the same. The first name also 75%. The last name is also 75%. So if we did the matching only based on the first name and last name, you have 75%, you are assured 75% accuracy. If you think about it from here. If you look at gender, age, country, the dark blue is similar. None means that it's not listed on any of the two sites. Okay, so the dark brown is none. When you look at Twitter, obviously Twitter has less information in the profile, and so when you look at it also, it follows a similar trend also. So also if you look at the address, see the country is very, very low. So this is just to look at the profile attributes. Now, we mentioned that the players, when they play the game, they play their social network first, and then they try to play other people's social networks. So we wanted to look at the accuracy of people playing their social network, and then the accuracy of people playing other people's social network. So when you look here, the blue curves show the accuracy of players when they played their social network. So I'm playing my friends. I'm trying to my friends. You could see that it is lower than me playing somebody else's friends. The reason behind that is the order. Because when you start to play the game, you are not very well educated in the game. Right? So the first game you play is your friends. Thus, the lower accuracy. Make sense? So when you play your friends of friends, you have a higher ratio because by that time you have now understood what the game is. But we looked at the people who actually really understood the game. How we did that is we looked at the people who had high accuracy. Yani they maintain the high accuracy throughout the game. And we looked here and we found that this what it maintains, is that you could see that when they play their own network, they have high accuracy, and then as they go farther from their network, they have a lower accuracy. Now, to detect the irrational, we have 3 seconds. So to detect the irrational players, we introduced this game set that we introduced, and we tried to catch the game set, and we measured the amount of time. If you play the game very quickly, this means you are trying to be random. So we use the threshold approach, and I'll just go through. So you had a threshold approach. If your time is very, very small, we just discarded this entry. And then we introduced these game, what do you call it, this data detection game data set, and we found that we had 3 irrational players that were continuously giving us mappings. You know, there are 2 kinds of players in the paper. You can read it in more detail. There is the silent players or active players. Silent players, they start the game and they give up. The active ones are ones which are just continuously playing the game. They're trying to get points. And these ones get caught by the game, this landmine that we plant, which is a game data set which if they play and they score badly in, and they don't know which one it is. So they all did really bad in accuracy. And yes, one of them had 7 seconds to play the game, actually to make a decision. This is the average time to make a decision, to make a map. But his accuracy is still very low. So we can, if you can use these 2 attributes, you can figure out if somebody is good or bad in playing the game. And this is some screenshots of the game. You could see some people have exactly the same pictures. Some people have different pictures from a different angle. And then some people have completely different pictures. Right? So conclusions is that you saw the game, and I just displayed also the results. And you're welcome for any questions. I think we have -2 seconds. Thank you.